bosses know. Turn your buckets over, turn your lanterns low. There's fire in her hearts and fire in her soul, but there ain't gonna be no fire in the hole.
Welcome to this week's podcast of History Speaks from the Montour County Historical Society. I'm your host, Terry Diener, a member of the Board of Directors. We'll be concluding our Sunday open houses for the year at the Montgomery House and Boyd House Museums at the end of October. You'll have one last opportunity to visit from 2 until 4 p.m. There is a $5 admission charge for non-members. Members of the Society and students through grade 12 are admitted free of charge. The economy of Danville and Montour County was impacted over the years through labor strife, lack of orders for the iron mills, and even national circumstances. The spring of 1857 saw the big strike at the Montour Iron Works, throwing 600 to 700 employees out of work. At the time, the iron works was under the management of J.P. Grove. For 6 weeks, day and night, men marched through the streets of Danville. Speeches were given at the courthouse, the Grove Church, and other locations in the town. The workers composed songs related to the strike and heartily sang them during their marches. For the most part, the demonstrations were orderly. Families affected by the strike found sympathy in their labor dispute with management and received support from the people of the town and the surrounding countryside. They received food from farmers, and that helped to ease some of the need. On April the 18th, 1857, the workers' committee and the company came to an agreement, and the clerks in the office were kept busy figuring out the accounts for the laborers. On that day and the one that followed, the men received their back pay and were notified to report for work on the 21st. With resumption of operations at the mill, orders for heavy rails began to arrive. The employees, again, had steady work. Wages, depending on the job, ranged from 90 cents to $3 per day. Despite those labor issues, Danville was also experiencing growing pains. Valentine Best was the owner and editor of the Danville Intelligencer, and had been for nearly 30 years. He noted signs of progress. "We believe some new homes were built in Danville this year, just closing, than in any former year since the town was laid out." That is, more homes were built, excepting those years in which the iron companies built large numbers of houses for the use of their employees. But then in the late summer and fall of 1857, the U.S. entered its worst economic downturn in 20 years. Until the onset of the panic, the national economy had been expanding rapidly during the 1850s. Railroads were the backbone of the economic growth, with the construction of over 20,000 miles of track during the 1850s. That kept firms like the Montour Iron Works in production and shipping tens of thousands of tons of rails. The first obvious sign of major trouble was the failure of the Ohio Life Insurance and Trust Company in late August 1857. The financial institution had loaned $5 million to railroad builders and had been swindled out of millions more by the manager of its New York branch. Unable to pay its extensive debt to Eastern bankers, Ohio Life was forced into bankruptcy. New York bankers began to panic for fear that they would not be able to meet their financial obligations and shifted suddenly to hard credit policies. Depositors began to withdraw gold from banks, dropping gold reserves by $20 million by mid-September. The sinking of the SS Central America added to that panic, as New York banks were awaiting a much-needed shipment of gold. Known as the Ship of Gold, the sidewheel steamer operated between Central America and the eastern coast of the U.S. It sank in a hurricane in September. Lost were more than 420 passengers and crew, and 30,000 pounds of gold. The collapse of credit caused a ripple effect nationwide, halting construction of buildings and railroads. That led to a halt in production at the big mill in Danville. An article in the September 25th edition of the Intelligencer contained these remarks. "Most important local item of this week is the stoppage of the Montour Rolling Mill. We hope the stoppage may be brief. We understand the company will start the mill again as soon as they can get money for their iron, or otherwise raise money to defray current expenses in running of their mammoth mills." The weekly Union newspaper of Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, which was also home to the massive Phoenix Iron Works, noted the closure of the Montour Mill in its September 27th edition. The Montour Ironworks Danville have this week discharged all their hands and closed their works, not wishing to incur the great risks and responsibilities which they must necessarily do in manufacturing iron under existing circumstances. We are exceedingly sorry they have resolved upon this course if they could possibly avoid it on account of the workmen, which will throw out of employment some 2,000 men. But despite the shutdown at the Montour Iron Company, the owners of the mill spent several days in mid-October paying their workmen in full. It was good news not only for the workers and their families, but the